If you are an owner of a property now and you call four agents in for a proposal and an appraisal, you're pretty much hearing the same spiel four times. You've got to then pick on the cheapest commission, the cheapest marketing costs, the prettiest tie, the person you feel most comfortable with. Every agent I speak to says, oh, I just want a point of difference. The frustration for me, I think, is that we're giving them a point of difference and they're scared to propose it.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent.
And I'm Mark Edwards. I'm the publisher of Elite Agent. And here we are again.
We are here again with another episode.
It is good to be back. So, Sam, who we got on the podcast this week?
Well, before I say who, I'm going to say what, because 2019 has been a bit of an interesting year. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. If you asked me what was one of the big things in real estate this year, I would have to say it's the rise of the online auction platform. There's quite a few of them around now. Mm-hmm. We've even talked to some of them on the podcast before. But traditionally, there's really been two methods of sale in this country, private treaty and auction. I mean, a few expressions of interest. Mm-hmm. Let's not get too wound up about that. But there's really formed a middle ground, which is this transparent transaction, which is like a private treaty. Mm. But has the characteristics of an auction towards the end.
It has almost come out of the expectation of what the consumer wants in the ability to have that transparency and know where you stand within the transaction.
Absolutely. And so my guest today is one of the pioneers of this method of sale, which is David Scholes from Sold Online.
David Scholes previously was the founder of AuctionWorks, which Correct. Was one of the very early platforms that brought around the online environment for sale of property.
And probably a bit of ahead of his time when he first released that product. He's had 45 years experience as a stock and station agent. Pretty much, you know, a lot of people know him as an educator as well. So from that point of view, so much experience in this podcast, it's not even funny.
Well, I remember when we were doing the proofing of the last issue of the magazine, which we had David in, and I had to go back to his people and say, hey, is this number right? And this was the number of yep. auctions that he's called. And we're not talking thousands. We're talking tens of thousands personally called. So the experience the guy's got is just phenomenal.
Yeah, lovely guy too. And today there's a few yarns, obviously, because I like a good yarn. There's some stuff on where Sold Online is going, which is interesting. I get David to tell me a little bit about what the future of auctions looks like. And also, you know, because he's got a bit of an education background, I asked him for some good tips for agents moving into 2020 as well.
I overheard some of that and it sounded like real gold. As usual, there's a lot of gems that happen within these podcasts, and you get pad and pen out after the fact and take a few notes yourself, don't you?
I do. And as always, I pick up new things.
It's like reading a book a second time, isn't it? You just pick up something new every time. And that, I think that's one of the valuable bits of the action guides.
Well, the action guide, you don't even have to listen to the whole podcast to get where the whole thing went with the action guide, because we make it really easy for you by taking down all the actionable points.
And how do you get your hands on those, Sam?
Go to eliteagentelevate.com, put in your email address, and an action guide will come sailing to you. Or alternately, if you'd like to subscribe to Elite Agent Extra, which is the extra bit of Elite Agent, then we will send them to you instead of you coming and putting in your email address every time.
So for $15 a month, you get every month a 40-page booklet comes through to you with each of the episode action guides from the month into a very easily consumable package.
All the best minds in real estate.
A couple of extras that go in there as well.
Yeah, I like bit of a wind-up on what we've seen in the previous month, just to keep everyone ahead of the game.
If you're the type of person that likes to actually get something very hands-on, to be able to sit there at your own time, read through, make your notes, dog-ear the pages, put a few post-it notes in there, actionable tips you can do later on, this is the thing for you.
Absolutely. So go to eliteagent.com/extra and sign up there.
I think that's about it. Let's get on with the show.
On with the show. So welcome to the podcast, David Scholes.
Thank you, Samantha. Lovely to be here.
Well, it's lovely to have someone like you here with your experience in the industry. So you've been in the industry for quite a long time now. Are you willing to give us a number?
Oh, what is it, 35 odd years?
35 years, wow. Yeah,
so I've sort of been associated with one form of agency practice since I left school. So a stock and station agency and then followed by real estate.
When and how did you get into real estate in the very beginning?
Well, real estate I got into because I basically went broke in stock and station agency.
Right.
So I had a business in Orange and I pursued the fine wool industry, which I thought was the smart, clever way of doing it because nobody else was doing it. And it worked very well for about a year and a half. And then unfortunately, the government took the floor price out of the wool market. The wool market collapsed and fine wool went from a lot of money to absolutely nothing overnight. So I suddenly had no business. So I travelled to Sydney and thought, well, it's a big town, Sydney. I should be able to make a go of it there. And that's what I did. I started. Luckily, a fellow down here, Peter Kennedy and Dennis Nutt, actually gave me my first ever on-site auction, and I built from there, which was great.
So did you actually start in auctions, or did you spend time as a – there's no such thing as a regular real estate agent, but did you spend time actually learning the craft?
No. Started as an auctioneer, but I think – actually, very valuably, I learnt my craft in the stock and station agency years. And I was only saying to somebody today that when you're a stock and station agent, you are part of a very tight-knit community and you cannot relax. You can't take the risk of losing business because if you're dealing with these people every week of the year, selling livestock and giving advice and helping out. So I think that was really a very, very good practical learning process for me to then come to Sydney. And finally, I did have an agency in Sydney, but I started as auctioneering. But it was I think a lot of young agents should learn that you can't just kiss your past clients goodbye thinking you'll never deal with them again in your life. So you've got to look after what you've got because you never know what's going to come back to bite you in the future.
Yeah, swings and roundabouts. I definitely agree with that. You know, you must have had a really interesting career and you must have auctioned some really interesting things, not just property, but as you say, livestock and stuff. What are some of the memorable moments that come to mind?
There has been plenty. I've been very fortunate. I've seen some of the best country in Australia. I've been to most regional towns, I suppose, in Victoria and New South Wales. And now I do some of the top-end residential auctions, but I do the top-end commercial auctions. And as my career has evolved, I've actually moved – not that I love residential auctions, don't get me wrong,
yeah,
but I think I've crafted a real profession out of commercial real estate. And last week, I think we sold something like $160 million worth of commercial real estate under the hammer in 2 days, in 24 hours.
Wow.
But I remember the very first real estate transaction I did when I was a kid out of school was an auction of a farm, followed by the sale of a large run of weaner cattle. And it was a huge successful sale of the property, but it turned out that I actually managed to sell it to an escaped psychiatric patient from Dandenong Hospital. So the whole sale fell over and it was a complete disaster. Oh. But we got through it and it didn't stop me from becoming a real estate agent in the future.
So it didn't go to that original buyer, it went to someone else?
It went to the underbidder, but it was a funny story because he paid a massive price for the property and the livestock, and I thought we were in a lot of trouble because when we discovered that he was in fact who he was, we had to then go back to the underbidder on the auction of the property who actually stuck at their price, so it wasn't any great loss at all. And funnily enough, the cattle that had been sold, people had in their minds this benchmark that had been set. And when we resubmitted the cattle for sale, they actually made as much, if not more, money. So it worked out okay.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And we're still here today to tell the tale.
Yes, exactly.
So that's amazing. So you've had 35 years in the industry, but you've also been quite a pioneer in technology from what I can gather and always interested in technology. And you've got a product now which is called Sold Online. Can you just explain where Sold Online came from and how you came up with the idea originally?
Samantha, I think I was probably a little early when I first started 10 years ago. So it started as Sold Online. I then changed the name to AuctionWorks Online. And now that I've sold AuctionWorks to Jesse Davidson, I think it's important that we get that name out of the stable. So it's gone back to Sold Online.
Yeah.
It was an idea of mine. It was a technological leap, I suppose, because it is my absolute belief that the next logical progression for certain sorts of property will be to be transacted online. And there's nobody doing it. It scared me when I thought about it, that real estate agents have been using the same basic practices to sell real estate in Australia that they've been using for 150 years. And as online marketing became more and more and more popular, and we saw the evolution of realestate.com and domain.com, it became obvious to me that buyers of property are doing all their research online, they're doing all of their due diligence online, they're very comfortable online, yet we're forcing them out of their comfort zone into areas, be it private treaty or traditional auctions, where they're having to do the most important part of the whole thing, the transaction, out of their comfort zone. So whilst I firmly believe that the traditional auctions have a very, very vibrant future in this country, we're aiming at getting into the areas that just do not embrace auction technology, because it is important that buyers have an ability to transact property in a transparent environment where they can see what's happening without the smoke and mirrors of a private treaty transaction.
Actually, you've just touched on quite a few things there, which we might sort of backtrack over a little bit. So with the products sold online, you're actually focusing not just on property auctions, but you're actually focusing on a number of different types of auctions on sold online?
No, purely property, but different sorts of property. So, right. You know, we'll handle rural. It's been a very big area for us in the past. Commercial, obviously residential, but also areas that are tied to property, such as poker machine entitlements, which are part of the hotel and leisure industry.
Yeah.
So there's a number of items that we can bring back into the online platform, but at the present time, it's all property specific.
That must be so complex.
The site, the system?
Yeah, like I'm thinking about auctioning a hotel, with all of its poker machines and stuff like that.
Yeah, look, it's been an adventure. It's been a bit of a challenge, and it's been a challenge in two ways. I've always been a very, very firm believer that auctioneers must understand their legal and legislative requirements. And to be honest, I think there is some emerging who don't. I don't think that they're completely up with what they should be knowing. So our system has been built around two components, the actual functionality of the platform, together with making sure that it creates enforceable contracts and actually complies. So we've had our challenges, and that's been a long road. But what we've now managed to get is a system that can be pretty much used in any area of Australia or overseas, but let's talk about Australia, to create a competitive environment, making sure that everything works within a timeline, but creates a basically stress-free environment for both owners of property and buyers of property. Because at the moment, really, I've sold and bought a fair bit of property in my life. Even as an experienced player, the whole process is quite a stressful one.
Yeah, I still think it's one of the most stressful things you can ever go through as a person. I was reading an article about moving the other day, and I thought, I never, ever, ever want to. I mean, it's inevitable that I am going to move again. I know that, but
I'm just going through it now. And in fact, I had a clearing sale for our farm on Sunday, and just getting rid of all the stuff is actually quite cathartic. But now I'm looking at the cleanup. It's a hell of a job. It really is.
Do you think we'll ever get to a point where we can solve that as well? That whole.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like, you know, like maybe sold online could have like an add-on that says, well, you know, move my furniture and stuff as well.
You talk about add-ons. So at the moment, our platform it's very functional, but I suppose you would call it rudimentary in that there are so many exciting things that are literally on the cusp of happening, which will tie in with our system in the future beautifully. So electronic conveyancing is literally on our doorstep. I mean, settlements are now done through PEXA, and the vast majority of solicitors are pushing that way. There's very soon going to be electronic identification. There's going to be electronic signatures. They're all there. Our next iteration is going to be tying them all together so that we have this seamless end-to-end electronic transfer of property.
Yeah.
And the important thing is the transaction. The actual transaction is being still done in Australia in the old ages. In my way of thinking, regional real estate agents are missing out because nobody has been able to give them a competitive advantage to actually make their job more efficient and more easy.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that, as you say, the process in Australia is quite antiquated, you know, with settlement times and all sorts of things like that that tend to slow the process down. I guess let's just rewind a little bit. Can you tell me a little bit about how sold online works and how that might perhaps speed things up? Yep. For both the vendor and the buyer.
So at the present time, it's a functionary platform for real estate auctions. There is no auctioneer, for anybody that's listening to think that we interface with an auctioneer. It's purely It's the eBay of real estate. It's all online bidding.
So, but you still need an agent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So we're not disruptors to the industry. I think that's important. We're very, very much aware that transactions of real estate need a middleman, and hopefully a good one. What happens in a short spiel is that the property is uploaded to our system when it is uploaded to all the other websites. And at that stage, a clock starts to count down, just telling people how many days, hours and minutes there is before the auction actually starts. Agents do the same job. They advertise, they market, they inspect, they get feedback, they find interest. And when they find interest, they register the potential bidders. And then they upload that information to the website. The website generates automatically an email to those people where they're invited to finish their registration online. They've got to prove to our system who they are. So they use the same driver's license number. And then they can't do anything more until the auction starts. Just before the auction starts, the evening before, where the auction is, we're given the reserve price in writing. We've discussed with the agent what the starting bid should be. Now, the starting bid is a little unique to us. We've had dispensations with the New South Wales Fair Trading to allow us to have a starting bid, which is not deemed to be a vendor bid, and we can have one vendor bid above that. So we set the starting bid, we set the minimum increment that will allow the bids to start, and then when the auction begins, those people who are registered are invited to move into the auction platform, and they can then pick their favourite bidder's number, and then they can start bidding. Now, auctions vary from one day through until 14, so it's up to the agents and the owners to work out the duration. Really, all the activity from experience takes place in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But the importance is to give a little bit of time so that that starting bid is out in the public domain, and often you get more registrations from that point. So once the bidding starts, people bid. Everything's so transparent. So everybody sees the bidder's number that's holding the bid. Everybody's told whether the reserve has been reached or not. If the reserve gets reached, everything turns green. We have SMS messaging going through to everybody. And as the clock counts down, if a bid is made in the last 3 minutes, the clock readjusts to a full 3 minutes, so you can't get in and snipe, and it gives people time to think and to make decisions. After 3 minutes of no bidding activity, if the reserve has been reached, the virtual hammer falls and that person is then classified as the new owner of the property. And straight away, a contract is signed and they have until 5 p.m. the next day to forward their deposit. If the reserve is not reached after 3 minutes of no bidding, that highest bidder, then actually, this is a beautiful part about the system, the reserve price is displayed on their computer screen or their smartphone, and they then have 60 minutes of exclusive negotiating time, where if a price is agreed, the property is sold to them in that period of time and no further competition takes place. So they're assured of buying the property immediately post-auction.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So this is where the agent's role might come in too, in talking to. So how does the agent interface with all of that?
There's several ways. And because we give them time, it's a beautifully slow process. So people aren't panicked. They have time to make decisions. As an example, the longest time an auction has run after the deadline was 3.5 hours. We had bid after bid, so the clock pushed out. So people have plenty of time to do their consideration. So the agent is the best way is to get on the telephone and speak to the bidders that way. But we have instant messaging on our system as well.
Yeah.
Or there's enough time for them to actually go and knock on the door and go and see them if they're local buyers.
Yeah, that'd be interesting actually. And so I guess, you know, like if you're a bidder, that takes away the pain of, you know, the nervousness, I think, because I think some people are still kind of nervous about raising their paddles at auction. So you could be literally at home.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe with a glass of wine in your hand.
Absolutely.
And watching it all unfold.
Yeah. As an experienced auctioneer, I see different psychology. There's a very, very different psychology on an online bidding platform to an on-site real estate auction. You know, some auctions on-site, you hear people afterwards say, oh, there was no point in me going on. That fellow was, he was never going to stop. And in fact, I often say at my auctions when you sense that people are getting frustrated because you have an aggressive bidder in the crowd, I often say to that person, don't worry, this fellow's got a limit. Every time you make a bid, you're getting closer to it, just to try and keep them in the race. Because we give these people time, that emotion is taken out of that auction process. And because at the end of an auction, we might be in little tiny $500 increments, you can see these auctions just going on and on and on because people don't want to lose a property for $500.
Yeah, this is interesting. So with this tool, if I'm an agent And at the moment, I'm kind of just auction over here on a Saturday or private treaty, depending on the type of property and what it's most suited to. And I'm thinking about going into the online auction space. What are the things that I need to do to prepare myself to be able to do that effectively and to be able to offer that to my clients?
Like everything, you must have an intimate knowledge of the tool that you've got to use. And I think what I find a lot of real estate agents I speak to absolutely love the idea, but I think they're a little worried about proposing it to potential property owners. Because let's face it, if you say something wrong in that interview,
you might lose the listing.
If you lose the listing, you're going to lose your commission and people. So I think a lot of agents, it's on the tip of their tongue to say, look, I've got something that just suits this down to the ground, but then they stop and go, oh, I just can't take a risk. So I think they've got to get to understand the platform intimately, but be confident that the system works. And it does. It works. We've had 800 auctions and it works really well. But I think it's also how they sell it, because funnily enough, the biggest driver of our properties onto our system have not been from real estate agents. It's been from property owners. So you've got to understand as an agent that owners want to hear something different to what they're being told at the present time. Please don't think I'm being critical of real estate agents. But let's face it, if you are an owner of a property now and you call four agents in for a proposal and an appraisal, you're pretty much hearing the same spiel four times. It's got to then pick on the cheapest commission, the cheapest marketing costs, the prettiest tie, the person you feel most comfortable with. Every agent I speak to says, oh, I just want a point of difference. The frustration for me, I think, is that we're giving them a point of difference and they're scared to propose it. So getting back to your question, they just need to know and have confidence in the system. And then I think it's going to be a massive listing tool in every area. If you have a dominant agent in an area of Sydney or Melbourne, and you're battling to win business from that agent, why go doing the same thing that that agent does all the time?
Yep.
Have something different. What have you got to lose? So this could potentially be a point of difference for those people who are trying to build a business. Or regionally, this is the most exciting thing. So regionally, properties aren't auctioned. It's only 10% of real estate is actually auctioned in Australia. There's 90% roughly that is not auctioned. That's our market. We want to get into the areas that don't do traditional auctions, that have properties languishing on the market for 6, 7, 8 months, just getting negotiated backwards and backwards and backwards. We want to go out there with a really efficient platform, say to a real estate agent, here's your point of difference. Stop bringing the price corrections or price drops into the equation, keep dropping the price down. Start at a lower level, get some competition and let the competition bring the price up.
Yeah, so can we role play this just quickly? So I'm a vendor. I want to sell my house and you're in my lounge room as the agent. And I say to you, David, I'm just not sure about auction and I'm not sure about private treaty. What do you think?
Okay, now this is how I do it. I would say, Samantha, I've met plenty of owners who are selling their property and every one of those owners primarily want three things. And you'll say, oh, what are they? And I'll go, you're going to want the most amount of money in the least amount of time with the least amount of stress. Well, guess what, Samantha? I've got just the thing for you. It is an auction, but it's a soft auction option. And we are going to keep people, the buyers, in their comfort zone. People who have found your property online are going to be allowed to stay online to buy your property in a very unrushed, transparent environment, which gives them a chance to make decisions, but also to keep the pressure on them to make sure that there is competition, so your price is going to get maximised, but we're all working to the same time frame. So it's a company called Sold Online. It is an online auction platform, and it's absolutely perfect for what you're looking for.
Sounds interesting. Tell me more.
Tell me more.
Okay, so that's interesting. So that's from the vendor side. What about from the buyer side? Like if I'm going to be an agent and I'm using an online auction platform, how do I best prepare my buyers to be able to feel confident to bid online?
Yeah, so we've done it for you. We have all the collateral that you need as an agent.
Yeah.
And let's face it, if you're a buyer, greatest respect to buyers, they do as we tell them to do. I'm sorry to say it, but if a buyer wants a property badly enough, they'll crawl over broken glass at midnight to get to it. This is a soft option for them. So it's something that they feel very, very confident in. We've spoken to a lot of people who have used this system as a buyer. Not all of them are successful. And every single one of the people that I've spoken to have told me that it is an intuitive system which was very simple to use. I'll give you an example whose name will not be published, but quite a successful developer, in fact, a very, very good Sydney developer, bought a property on our online system. It was a government property. It was a development site. It sold for $3.8 million above the reserve price, and that was the one that took 3+ hours after the auction to finish. And I was getting contracts organised, so I spoke to the developer, got him organised, we signed contracts, organised his deposit, and at the end of it I said to him, so what do you think of the system? And he said, oh, I didn't like it. I said, oh, really? That's interesting. I said, what do you think of just normal in-rooms auctions? Because I see you in our rooms all the time. He said, oh, I don't like them. He said, I hate
don't
them.
Like that either.
He said, because everybody knows me and they pick on me. I said, oh, fair enough. What do you think of the expressions of interest? He said, oh, they're ridiculous. I hate them. They're just terrible things. They're just drawn out ridiculous processes. I said, what about tenders? And he said, I refuse to ever embrace a tender program. I said, so basically you're telling me that our online platform is actually the best way to buy property. And he said, well, yeah, I suppose so. So, yes, buyers actually like the system, and we've got all the collateral that you need as an agent to make sure that they're comfortable.
And you said you've done about 800 properties already on this auction or more. What are some of the most memorable auctions that you facilitated on the platform where it might not have been such a great result otherwise?
Our very first auction was for the ANZ Bank. It was a mortgagee in possession property, and it was in Wee Jasper, which is down south on the Murrumbidgee River. And it was a general store, and we had been marketing it for the ANZ for about 3 months. We'd done an on-site auction and nobody turned up, not a single person turned up. We then went through a private treaty process, and any offer that we got was well below their reserve figure. And their reserve was based, by the way, not on one, but on three separate valuations, because they couldn't really determine a valuation. And this property had a lot of complex issues. It had an underground fuel tank that had no environmental report on it, and contamination was a big chance, and it was right on the Murrumbidgee River. It was selling alcohol and it had no alcohol license. There's some issues. Cut a long story short, when we first launched this system, I said to the ANZ representative, they said, look, we're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to take it off the market. We're going to give the keys back to the mortgagee, and we're going to absolve them of any further risk. We're going to basically wipe their debt. I said, before you do that, can I have one more go at it? And they said, well, tell me about it. So I talked them through it. We then had to jump through all the hoops of getting their in-house legal team to agree to use our system. So that was a big thing. That was through Gaydon's. They finally allowed us to do it. They agreed that we complied. They agreed that we created enforceable contracts. We put it online. We advertised it. We had 6 registered bidders, and it sold for $21,000 over their reserve price. And that was the first auction we'd ever done. Now, we did it one just the other day out in, well, we've had 3 Sydney development sites that all sold well over the reserve price. And we had one just very recently in Gunnedah that was a burnt-out cinema, and the agent had no confidence that we'd get anybody interested in it at all, because the demolition costs were so great that it was probably worth more than the block of land. They put on a non-reserve auction online, and they ended up with, I think, 7 registered bidders, and it ended up selling for $65,000. It doesn't sound much, but the agent didn't think they were going to get a bid.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, if they're going to demolish it, then there are costs on top of
exactly,
that.
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We've had many failed auctions, but generally that was because an agent said, look, we love the idea. We've got a property that we've had on our books for 12 months. We'll give it a go. But then they don't advertise it and wonder why no registered bidders come forward. So our clearance rate has not been massively impressive on some of our properties, but pretty much on any property that we've had registered bidders, we've had a good result.
I think that give it a go strategy for auction doesn't work in any type of auction,
doesn't.
Though, does
no,
it?
It does not.
Like, you know, you're either all in with, you know, a fixed period of time and marketing and communicating and managing your buyers and managing your sellers and all the rest of it. And I imagine that if you're not all in, whether it's an online auction or whether it's a traditional one that you still do, by the way.
Then, and I think that should be clarified too. I'm just a firm believer in the auction process. I love auctions, and I think an auctioneer on site or in rooms, a good auctioneer, is such a brilliant tool in certain areas of Australia. But there are certain areas that I don't care how good the auctioneer is, they're not going to have a successful auction because auctions just don't work in some areas because people aren't going to travel all that way to attend an on-site auction. If you can allow people, though, to bid from the comfort of their own home, their office, their tractor, if it's a rural commodity, it gives people a chance to engage without disrupting their day-to-day life.
So where do you see the future of auctions? Do you still see that there's a place for in-person auctions as well as online auctions? Like, where do you see the future headed?
I see online transactional engines becoming a very important part of the massive amount of properties that are done in the old traditional style of private treaty. That's where I think the biggest influence is. I think the areas that are synonymous with traditional auctions will always have traditional auctions, and I think they should too. I really do. We did auctions last week for 15 7-Eleven sale and leaseback properties, service stations, and you would do it no other way than having an in-rooms auction with good auctioneers. That's the only way to do it. You would never do that on an online platform. So those areas are safe, and good quality homes that need to have an audience present to enjoy the view and what have you, auctioneers are safe. Believe me, they're safe. What we're aiming to do is to break into that massive area of property that just sits there doing nothing at all. And the other thing about our system is that where private treaty campaigns that take an awfully long time before you even find somebody to say, look, I could be interested, it's not educating the owner about price. There is nothing physical that they can say, well, hang on, we've got three registered bidders and not one of them have made an offer. That must mean one thing, that our starting bid's too high. So there's nothing in that traditional private treaty transactional process that educates an owner. Well, this system does. This is the best tool to educate an owner I've ever seen in my life.
For the purposes of
getting price right.
Yeah, well, that too, and also getting actual transparent feedback. It's not the agent going back saying, they'll only offer me this. They can actually see
exactly right
in front of them
exactly
what
right.
the current offer is.
Yep.
Let's talk about some other technology, because I know you have a keen interest in technology. Not only have you developed this, but over the years you've been quite instrumental in a few things. What are some of your other favourite tools at the moment in your business that you like as well as sold online?
Well, I don't use a lot of them because I'm not a practicing real estate agent. But look, I was first involved with technology way back in the 80s with a thing called computer-aided livestock marketing, CALM, C-A-L-M.
Wow.
Which was where we'd go and film a mob of cattle and weigh them and measure them and try, and it worked relatively successfully, sell them via auction being live streamed, but the stock didn't have to leave the property. So you didn't have to put them onto a truck, send them into a set of cattle yards and knock them around and bruise them to find out that you didn't get a result you really wanted to and to lose money, whereas they could sit on your property and not move. So if you weren't happy, you didn't have to truck them. That's now evolved into one of the really great process called Auctions Plus, which I sold cattle on just last week. And
wow.
That's a very interesting system. It's a very, very interesting process too. But then I think for property that is a bit the same, like a units in a unit building, I think you can damn nearly sell property now on an online transactional engine with people not even needing to go and inspect. We've got virtual tours. We've got 360-degree photography. We've got shots of perceived views. And I think if contracts can be tidied up to give buyers some guarantees and you know that it hasn't got unsafe cladding and you know that it's been well built, there's no great reason to go if you're an investor, no great reason to go and even inspect those properties.
Well, it'd be interesting, I suppose, and we did touch on this a bit earlier in our chat, was could you see some of these things being built into a platform like Sold Online? You know, someone registers a property and hits a button and then you can have a look at it.
Definitely. And look, I think it'll turn up, hopefully, one day where at the present time we're not a marketing platform at all.
Yeah.
But if we start to get some numbers trending through our platform, and so we should now that it's such an affordable place to be, I'm envisaging that we will have a bank of buyers who will be given information on everything that's being uploaded. And it's difficult territory, but I think we can convince the Department of Fair Trading that with their permission, we can actually retain people's identity, you know, their information, and invite them so they don't have to go through the whole registration process 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 times.
Yeah.
That when they miss out on that property, in 2 days' time, they see another one, they can just pick the same bidder's number and off they go again. So I do believe that there is going to be massive leaps in technology which will make online property transactions just so much more convenient.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious one has got to be paying your deposit and stuff too,
yes.
Right?
The deposit's actually a pretty simple one. It's exchanging the contract. It's signing a contract.
Yeah.
But the technology is there now that if you buy a property, instantly that contract is filled up with your name, your address, your solicitor's details, the price, the deposit, the balance and the date. A link is then can be sent to your smart device. You open it, you look at it, you agree to it and you sign it with your finger.
Yeah.
Now, that's just a beautiful way of fine-tuning the whole process. At the moment on our system, the clunkiest thing is getting that contract signed. So
yeah.
We've built in where the auctioneer can sign on their behalf, and that's probably the safest thing. But I think it's only months away before we'll have that on our system as well.
Banks have got to get with the program, don't they? Like, you know, they've sort of traditionally been the ones holding things up with needing to go get a bank check,
yes,
of all things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
right.
Stuff
yeah.
like that.
Absolutely.
Just as a general sort of advice thing, obviously you've seen the business of real estate change over 35 years. What do you think are the biggest changes since you started and what has stayed the same?
Well, the biggest changes, I think, is marketing. When I had my real estate agency in the Lower North Shore in the early 2000s, we were paying more to market a property then than we are now. It's quite expensive, but it's a lot cheaper than having to put it in two papers, you know,
yeah.
the North Shore Times and the Mossman Daily. So when you can save yourselves money going into print newspapers, I'm personally a believer that you should still have a presence in print media, to be honest. I really do think that you're still missing out on a potential target. I really do. But you can bring that back a lot. You don't have to be doing full-page ads for 4 weeks in a row. You take those back and you do really comprehensive online marketing. Your costs have been reduced and I think there is better ads. I just think there is, you know, you flick through now, not only do you get a great array of photographs, but you get a floor plan, you get a 3D perspective. And on the same processes, you can find finance, you can do a calculations. Everything is there at your fingertips. So I think finding property and doing your due diligence is much improved in the time that I've been around. But I've got to say, the process of actually selling property has not changed. And the other thing that hasn't changed, as an aside, is agents do not take care in understanding the contract of the properties that they're selling. As an auctioneer, we still find 50% of our commercial contracts need to be addressed 5 minutes before the auction starts.
Yeah, wow.
And probably 10% of residential contracts need to be addressed 10 minutes before the auction starts. And it's as simple as the agent going through the contract and understanding what's on it, but they just don't. It gets delivered and they take it as gospel that the solicitors have got everything right.
Yeah, that's an extra step, is to go through and read and understand, ask questions.
Don't start me.
Okay. Okay. Well, that was actually going to be my next question, is because you had the education business for so long, you had AuctionWorks for so long, what are some of the things that you wish, you know, agents could know or take away from the time that you spent educating agents?
I've been lucky because real estate wasn't my only income. I could probably stand on my, you know, my soapbox and be critical of real estate agents chasing the dollar. But let's face it, real estate agents have got to chase the dollar. They finish one deal and they've got to have another deal going. Otherwise, their income, exactly, you don't eat. But I think that real estate agents have got to understand that that's not the only thing that they've been put on this earth for. They've got to build relationships. Even if you don't ever meet that person again, the referral system is still very, very strong. And I don't care how big the city is. If you muddy the waters with just one deal in the eastern suburbs and you think it's a big area, so you should be able to get away with it, you won't. It spreads about how badly that deal was done. So I think real estate agents have got to be very conscious of impressions. They've got to be very conscious in a society that is full of litigation now, that they've got to cover themselves and their vendors and their buyers' best interests. And Samantha, that boils down to knowing what the contract is. I've often said to agents, you're not actually selling a property. You're not selling a house. You're selling a contract which gives that person who buys the contract, who signs a contract, the right to move into that house in 42 days. And if there is an impediment in the contract that you don't know, that you haven't bothered to learn about, if there is something in that contract that is going to put a buyer off, you're not going to end up with any buyers. So you've got to know what the contract is and what it holds so that you can explain it to potentially incoming owners.
And then perhaps handle the objection.
Exactly right.
You know, like it's funny, I hear more about that in property management. For example, the management agreement doesn't include the garage or something silly mm-hmm. like that. And then all of a sudden the tenant moves in thinking they've got access to the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
So here's an example. Look, I don't know how many times I see it. And I have to say, well, there is no inclusions marked on this contract. It's the front page of the contract. How hard is it to mark up the inclusion? So there is no confusion about what's included and what's not. Mm. It just beggars belief.
From what you're saying, it's so hard to differentiate yourself in real estate from the guy down the road. We just had a talk about that and how online auctions might fit into that differentiation strategy. But I think, you know, those sorts of things, if people can find the price of the property online and do all that sort of stuff just by Google, mm. you know, I think that's great advice. That's one of the places where an agent can really make the difference.
Absolutely. And look, I think when you're talking to your owners, that it's important for them to get the feeling that you do understand the contractual obligations. And I used to always make sure that my owners understood, before they even sought the advice of a solicitor, that they're going to get requests for amendments to the contract, and they're traditionally going to be extended settlement periods or reduced deposits. And not to be scared about reduced deposits, because so many people only have the capacity to pay 5% at the moment. But if they are only going to pay 5% and the owner's comfortable with it, to make sure that their solicitor at least puts in the contract a clause in regards to a reduced deposit, and that is an installment on the full 10%.
Yeah.
They're the little things that an agent should be understanding to give the owner confidence that they're dealing with the right person.
Absolutely. We've talked about a whole bunch of stuff here today, so I want to ask you a couple of things just in closing. Number one, if we want to find out more about Sold Online, where's the best place to go? We'll leave links and stuff in the show notes.
Yep. So the site itself, soldonline.com.au,
is easy.
Yep. And it's a good name too. I'm pleased that we've changed it back to that name. I think it's a pretty simple name.
Yep.
So on there, there's, again, a lot of collateral videos. There's a couple of e-books that we've written. There's lots of information, not just about our process, but also about how an agent can improve their way of handling campaigns.
Yeah.
But then we want to give them a demonstration, and yep. we can run them through what we call a mock auction, where they get invited to be fictitious bidders on this fictitious property.
Yeah.
Just to give them an idea of how they can handle it from an agent's perspective and how they can advise the buyers on what they need to do. But most importantly, when they have questions, we've got an open line. They just need to get in touch with us and we'll walk them through how they present the process to a potential owner.
Excellent. And if there was one thing that you want people to remember about everything that we've talked about today, what would that be?
What is most important is for an agent not to be scared to do something different, not to be scared to approach an owner with a bold new plan. It could be marketing. It could be any different thing to differentiate themselves. When I was a real estate agent, I used to always customize every single marketing campaign we had, because every property was different. And why would you just go for the same half page, you know, primary ad on the websites and sit back with the same sorts of brochures? If it's something a little different, you need to have something a little different in your marketing. We were one of the first ones to bring people into photographs. I mean, nobody does it. Yeah. I could never understand why there would be an outdoor table with, you know, plates and wine glasses and no people, or why there wasn't a kid on the swing or something like that.
Dogs are a trend.
Yeah, well, yeah.
dogs are everywhere.
Be adventurous enough to do something different, because I promise you, owners who have got to select an agent are not going to be fazed by a person who put something new in front of them. They might not like the idea, but they're not going to say, I didn't like that idea, I'm not going to deal with you. They're going to say, that idea is not for me, but I admire the fact that you've done something different to other agents. Now, what other way can we do it? So you're not going to lose the listing by being adventurous.
Yeah, so you're better off being a bit creative.
Definitely.
And putting yourself out there.
One little bit of advice before we go. Don't do what every real estate agent does. That is, I'm talking to the times where you don't know the person that's invited you into their house. Don't do what every real estate agent does, and that is to do the trip around the house. Before you go for a trip around the house, sit down with the owners, build a rapport, build a bit of a relationship, and ask questions to find out what it is those people want to achieve. And then after you've got an idea, then go for your trip around the house. And you, I promise you, you will have a very different welcome. You'll have a very different meeting with those people.
Yeah. I think that's really the problem now that you get is that, let's just say 30 years ago, you would be able to send a message to the people that you trained in the classroom. But now everyone's getting the same scripts and dialogues en masse. And so you're right, you know, like I've heard that a few times is that, you know, like you should walk in the door and start checking the hinges and, you know, do all, I've heard that. But that's interesting that you say take it down a peg.
We're in the business as communicators. You know, people call us negotiators, but we're communicators. And I think it's interesting that this real estate industry is probably the only industry that I know, because it's commission-based, where you wear two hats. The first hat you wear is selling yourself to win the right to sell somebody's house or unit. And I don't care who you are. That's a very different role. I found it quite difficult to sell myself in the traditional way. I mean, I had points of difference that made it very simple for me. But it was easier for me to sell somebody's house than it was to sell myself, because I'm a little bit self-conscious, I suppose, of that sort. But until you nail that and until you win those people's confidence, then I don't see how you can expect to win the listing. You've got to let those people tell you what it is that they want to accomplish. Some of them don't know. A person doesn't wake up in the morning and say to themselves, I'm going to sell my house because it should be worth $1 million. Never. They're going to wake up one morning and say, I'm going to sell my house because it's too big or it's too small or I've got to move or I owe the bank too much money or I'm getting divorced. That's the primary method. And then secondary it is, I hope it's worth $1 million. Now, there's too many real estate agents that tap into the dollars and not into the primary cause. And you'll never learn the primary cause unless you actually spend the time to allow those people to open up and tell you.
That is really, really good advice and a very long one thing too.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed our chat. Thank you so much for talking to us today. And we'll leave plenty of links in the show notes about Sold Online and some of the other great stuff you're doing. David Scholes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Samantha, for having me.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.